When you're angry at someone else reaching success because it makes you look bad, why not be inspired and just run your race and be better than you were a year ago, better than you were a month ago? In whatever it is that you're comparing, stop and just be better than your previous self, previous version of yourself. And welcome again to another episode of Think Like a Champion. This podcast is dedicated to helping you, is helping you win in every way and helping you enjoy every day. Now, I started some content last time we were together. I want to pick up where we left off, but I'm talking about something. I title it, It's Already In You. It's already in you. It's already in you. And I want this to take us to a breakthrough and a revival in our lives. What is revival? It is the causing someone to recover the state of joy or cheer and encouragement after a time of anxiety or worry. Revival is finding joy, the discovery of joy, the discovery or recovery of cheer, the recovery of your joy, the recovery of life that has been lost, life that where something died in your life. It's the recovery, it's the beauty that comes from ashes. I was talking to somebody from the Ukraine, from the nation of Ukraine recently, and I said, how's it going over there? They're actually living there. And they said, it's very bad, and it's still bad, and it's much worse than what people think. But what God has done in our lives is many of the people here in Ukraine are already believers, but it caused us to recognize and remember what was really important. And we began to stop living for the things that weren't as important anymore. But we realized what's important is our families and our loved ones and taking care of people and helping people in the worst of times and showing love and being kind and believing God in the midst of terrible tragedy and the worst of circumstances. And I thought, wow, there is an example of finding beauty from ashes. There's an example of how God will take something that wasn't from him, but something that was very destructive and something that was very tragic. And there is beauty that can be found from it. And what is the beauty that we take out of COVID from the last couple of years? Well, it's the fact that we started focusing on the things that really mattered. We started cutting away the things that didn't matter in our lives, the things that weren't as important in our lives. And what did we discover? People are everything. And what did we learn? People are everything. What did we realize? People are everything. And what does God want us to understand? People are everything. And people are not a means to an end. People are everything. And that's what God is all about, is his people mean everything to him. You mean everything to him. He created you. You mean everything to him. And in order to experience the beauty, in order to experience the revival, the breakthrough, we have to remember the first thing to do to experience the kind of breakthrough that God wants us to experience in our lives is we have to disrupt the pattern of negativity. We've got to start speaking life where there's death, start speaking light where there's darkness. Stop waiting for life to speak to you. It already is speaking to you, and it's time that you talk back. It's time. Life is talking smack at you, and you need to smack back. Life is saying you're not going to make it. Life is saying you're a loser. Life is saying you look at your failures. Life is saying you're not as pretty. You're not as this. You don't have as much money. You don't have as many followers. You don't have as much success. That's what you're being smacked with. But you need to smack back and say, let me tell you what I do have. Let me tell myself what I do have. Let me tell this universe what I do have. So number one, we got to disrupt the pattern of negativity. And number two, we have to begin to focus not on what we want, but focus on what we already have. Now I'm going to make that a big deal in your life because it's a big deal in my life. And I believe the power to have what we want is found in the gratitude for what we already have. So make a list. Start remembering what you have. Start realizing what you've come through. Start remembering what God has rescued you what God has rescued you from. Start remembering what gifts you possess. And then you can confidently move forward in changing your world and obtaining the things you want because you're so focused on the things God has already given you. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says, eagerly desire the greater gifts, and now I will show you the most excellent way. Follow the way of love, chapter 14, verse 1, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. One of the translations of the Bible says, covet earnestly the best gifts. Each one should use whatever gift he has or she has received. Whatever gift we have received, use it to serve others. Use it to serve others. Wow. When we realize the gifts we have, when we realize all that God has given us, it frees us from seeing people from the wrong point of view. You're not in my life for me to get something from you. You're in my life for me to get something to you. That's how I see the people in my life. I'm not trying to get something from you. I'm trying to get something to you. So the third thing we do, because I said we were going to pick up where we left off, the third thing we can do to bring revival, to awaken what's inside of us is we have to stop comparing ourselves to others. We have to ditch the comparison traps. And we know that life is full of comparisons, and life is full of competition, and life is full of us measuring ourselves based on how others are doing. And we need to fast from that. We need to fast from comparisons. I really don't believe in comparisons. You're one of a kind. You are one of a kind. I'm one of a kind. There'll only be one of me. There'll only be one of you. And there'll only be one of every human being on the face of this earth. There's a lot of different, there's a lot of different foods you can eat. There's a lot of different places you can go. But there's only one of you. So many, in everything else in life, there's an abundance of just about everything, but there's only one of you. And so when you begin to see that God made you special, God made you unique, and the same way he made me special, he made me unique. But he says very clearly to us to cut off this comparison trap. It's a trap. It gets you to live beneath yourself. It gets you to stop valuing yourself. You're measuring yourself by what somebody else has. You don't know what they went through. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what God wants out of them and from their life. You should focus on what you have and what God's called you to do. 2 Corinthians 10:12 has always helped me with this whole concept of comparison. In the NIV Bible, it says, we do not dare to compare. Do not dare to compare. There's a word for you. Do not dare to compare. I dare you not to compare, right? He said, we do not dare to compare. But he says in this verse, when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. Wow. Look at what God is saying here. When we compare ourselves with others, with other people like us, when we measure ourselves by the people around us, we are not wise. Well, what's the opposite of wisdom? Foolishness. It's foolish to compare yourself to others. I'm not saying that we shouldn't improve. I'm not saying we shouldn't be inspired by other people. But we need to realize that even though we can be inspired by other people, we should not be getting our positive feedback from whether we're doing better than them, and we should not be getting negative feedback from we're doing worse than them, because we're not in their race. The Bible says, run your race. Run your race. The only person you should be comparing yourself to is the person you were 1 year ago. Now that's worth truly comparing. That's worth truly having some self-awareness. That's worth truly recognizing where you are in the same place a year later. Now you can do the work, do the difficult work on your soul to become better than you were a year ago. What does that mean? It's going to mean adopting some new habits, some new ways of thinking, and some new habits in your life, because habits are what make the outcome of your life what it is. It's not what you do once in a while. It's what you do continually and consistently. You know, if we have to remember that if we don't have consistency, we'll never finish our race. We'll never finish what we're called to do. We'll never fulfill the dreams that God has for our lives. We have to be consistent. There has to be consistency in us being positive, full of faith, not comparing, getting up when we fall. But comparing ourselves with others produces despair. It produces negativity. When you compare to somebody else, you either have to be negative toward that person that you're comparing yourself with to make you feel better, which makes you kind of like a hater. If you're, well, I'm doing better than them, now you're judging them and where they're at, or you end up being negative towards yourself. In either case, you end up being a hater. If you compare yourself to others and you're like, okay, I'm doing better than them, now you're hating them. But when you compare yourself and say, wow, I'm not doing so good, now you're hating yourself. So both comparing yourself to others in a negative way or in a positive way, both are wrong. Both make you become a hater of yourself or hater of others. You might not call yourself that, but that's what you're doing in essence, because you have to define that person a certain way so that you can say, oh, I'm better than that. Now you're hating on them, or I'm worse than that. Now you're hating on yourself. Wow. This will set you free when you realize having to be right or to look right at someone else's expense or by someone else looking wrong is a recipe for negativity. It's a recipe for stress. It's a recipe for hate. What is hate? One acronym for hate I heard was having anger toward everyone reaching success. It's really hate, having anger toward everyone reaching success. Haters. Should have said that the right way the first time, right? Haters, having anger toward everyone reaching success. That makes you a hater. When you're angry at someone else reaching success because it makes you look bad, why not be inspired and just run your race and be better than you were a year ago, better than you were a month ago? In whatever it is that you're comparing, stop and just be better than your previous self, the previous version of yourself. Haters, reason people hate. Boy, we don't realize how much hate is in this world. There is a lot of it. We don't realize that so many people that get caught up in politics begin to hate the other side. So many people that get caught up in business, they begin to hate their competitors. So many people that are caught up even in church, they begin to hate other churches because they're not like them, or they're not with us, or that person left, and so that makes us hate them, or that person didn't do what we asked them to do. So now all this hate is so unnecessary. Love never fails. Hate always fails, but love never fails. Hate, it's from people who don't have. Where does hate come from? It comes from people who don't have the emotional tools to deal with their own pain. When you have not been given the emotional tools to deal with your own pain, you begin to hate yourself because you can't fix yourself, or you begin to hate others because you think they need to be fixed and you think there's something wrong with them. What happens is when we don't have the emotional tools to deal with our own pain, to deal with our own suffering, we end up hating ourselves or we end up hating others. Instead, what we should do is we should acquire the tools to help us deal with what we're facing. The tools to deal with my own suffering, like what pain is in my life. The tools that God has given me is there's like 1,000 different ways to heal pain. And there's a handful of ways to respond to pain. And one of the ways to respond to pain is look for What signal is that triggering? What can I take from this pain? What can I take from this suffering? What signal is this sending me? Maybe I have pain in my shoulder. It's sending me a signal to move my shoulder in a different way, to give therapy to my shoulder, to perhaps get a doctor to look at it. Perhaps there's a surgery down the line. I declare there won't be for you or me, but it is a way that is made available to us to ease the suffering in certain areas of our life. So if we stop looking at pain as something negative and start looking at pain as a signal, just like I've told you over the years, treat anxiety as a signal to pray, because it's at that moment when you feel anxious, it's at that moment you have the energy, you have the power, you have the anointing from God to do something about that situation. You have the power in that moment. There's this anxiety, there's this negative energy, there's this almost hyperventilating, there's a panic attack that might come on you. It's a signal that there's power being released in your brain to do something powerful about what you're feeling anxious about. And what is the thing you can do? You can pray, or you can use that energy to exercise. You can use that energy to call somebody and say, just thinking about you, and I want to just bless you, and I want to speak good over you. And in fact, pray for me too. I want to pray for you. Pray for me. Like, take pain as a signal. It's signaling that there is some action that you can take to alleviate that energy that is turned inward towards you, making you anxious, making you worried, making you nervous, making you depressed. That's energy. It feels like it's draining your energy, but it's really energy in the negative. It's negative energy that is depleting you, but we can turn that energy into something positive by using that as a signal to pray, using pain as a signal to heal. It's a signal to give attention to the thing that you're suffering. Boy, this is really what delivers you from hate. I know, how do we get over here where we're talking about anxiety and pain? It's because when you don't have the emotional tools to deal with your own pain, you start inflicting it on everyone you come in contact with. Did you hear me? When you don't have the emotional tools to deal with your own pain and your own suffering, you start afflicting other people with your pain, and you start bringing suffering into other people's lives. This leads me back to this comparison thing. It leads right back to the thing we talked about earlier and last time. We have to discover what we have. We have to take inventory of what we have. One of the things that delivers me from comparing myself with others is I have to stop and remember what I have. I have to take inventory. What do you have in your house? The prophet said to the woman whose sons were going to be kidnapped, or sons were going to be used to pay her debt, her husband's debt. He died, and now she has this debt, and the creditors are coming to take her sons away. And she cries out to the prophet Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 4, remember? And she said, you got to help me. And the prophet Elisha said, what do you have in your house? What do you have in your house? She said, I only have a jar of oil. Go grab it. I only have a jar of oil. Go get it. All I have is a jar. Go get it. All I have is a jar. All I have is five loaves and two fish. Bring it. All I have. It all starts. Notice all this miracle, abundance, breakthrough, provision. It all starts with, what do you have in your house? What do you have? If we would really go back to discovering what we have, if we would go back to taking inventory of what we have in our lives. I'll give you a few things that you have in your life. Think about it. In Luke chapter 17, verse 21, it says, the kingdom of God is within you. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, the Holy Spirit is within you. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, the spiritual gifts of God are within you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, there's a treasure within you. In John chapter 17, verse 13, there is joy within you. In Romans chapter 5, verse 5, there is love, the love of God in you. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, or 1 Timothy, I should say, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, there is faith within you. You don't need more faith. It's already in you. You remember when the disciples said to Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. Jesus didn't say, okay, here, let me give you some more. He said, you don't need me to increase your faith. All you need is faith like a mustard seed. All you need to do is take the seed you already have, take the faith you already have and plant it like a seed. Take your words and plant them like a seed. They might seem small when they're in your hands, but that's why they got to get out of your hand into the soil, because in the soil they become what they were created to become. The DNA of greatness, the DNA of a tree is inside of the smallest of seeds. You know, it seems like in life everybody wants the fruit, but nobody wants to plant a tree. Everybody wants the apples, but nobody wants to plant the apple tree. Everybody wants the harvests, but they don't want to have to dig and turn the soil over and plant new seeds and water and irrigate it and take care of their garden. We want this life that we see portrayed on social media or in Hollywood, and we want that life. And we don't realize that, first of all, nobody gets that life. You work for it. You plant for it. Maybe their parents were in Hollywood for 30 years before them. Maybe they had an easier path to that. Is that what you want? Go carry the, you know, carry the cords that are attached to the camera. In other words, do the things that no one else is willing to do to have the thing that everybody seems to want, if that's what you really want. John Wayne, everybody knows, the great, great actor, revolutionary actor in American history. He started just working behind the cameras. He started just moving lights and moving grids and doing stuff in studios that wasn't glorious, it wasn't glamorous. And I'm not here to tell you that you're supposed to be a movie star. I'm here to tell you that whatever it is you want, you have the power to have it if you start with what you have. You have the power to experience the dream of your life and your whole family salvation and the healing that you're looking for and the business that you want to start and the breakthrough that you want to experience, the financial peace that you want in your life. It starts with seeds. Like, don't despise the day of small beginnings. Everybody wants to eat the fruit, but very few people want to plant the seed that takes years to become a tree and years to cultivate and produce abundant harvests for a lifetime. Wow. And where does all that start? It starts with what you have. You don't need to make this complicated. Our job is very simple. We just develop what is already in us. We discover what's in us. We develop what's in us. And then we distribute what's in us. This is where breakthroughs come. You discover what's inside of you. You develop what's inside of you. You discover what's inside of you that you don't even know is in there. You know, you are a living treasure. You're a treasure chest. And inside of you is just fascinating treasures. Each of you, me and everybody in the studio, each of them have treasures within them. Each of them have greatness within them. Each of them have to decide if they're going to do the work of discovering. Discovering gold didn't start with just somebody seeing it on the side of a road. Discovering gold started with people digging in places that hadn't been dug before. Like, you got to be willing to dig. There's gold there, but you got to dig for it. You got to unearth it. It takes work. Aren't we saved by grace? Absolutely, we're saved by grace. And God wants us to do the work, once we're saved by grace, to do the work of developing the great grace gifts that he's put inside of us. We have to discover them. Then we have to develop them. We have to take time to become better with the gifts that we've been given, and then we distribute those gifts. This is where happiness flows from. This is when life begins to be a journey and an exploration and a discovery and fun. Is you discover what's inside of you, you develop what's inside of you, and then you distribute what's inside of you. This is where the happiness and the joy comes from. This is what people are looking for in their life. And sometimes we got to stir up what's already inside of us. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, see, everyone knows verse 7 says that that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. But not everybody remembers that what came before that is verse 6. Wherefore, I put you in remembrance that you would stir up the gift of God that's in you through the laying on of hands. Verse 7 is, remember, you've been given power, love, and a sound mind. But verse 6 is, stir up the gifts that are already in you. And then Philemon, verse 6 says, acknowledge what's already in you, because that has been given to you through Jesus Christ. And that's what makes your faith begin to work and produce supernatural results. And Christianity, at the end of the day, is a life of acknowledgement. It's not a life of attainment. I'm going to try to attain all the things I want. It's a life of acknowledgement, to recognize what's already in you, to accept what's already in you, to develop what's already in you, to declare what's already in you, and to thank God for what's already in you, and then use what's already in you. Some of you have gifts of prophecy that you're not using. Start prophesying to yourself. Start prophesying to your car that it's going to last a little bit longer. Start prophesying to your bank account. It's going to get a little bit heavier. It's going to get a little bit thicker. It's going to get a little bit obese. If we want obesity in our bank account, let's start speaking it. Like, that's one area that would be good to really be fat. Like, a fat wallet is a good wallet, right? Everybody knows that when you have more, you can give more. How about use that gift to prophesy over your body? My body is the temple of the Lord. Healing flows in me. God's power flows in me. Like, this is recognizing what you have and prophesying it, speaking it over your life. This is how we stir up what's inside of us, because God has something much bigger and greater for you to do in this life that you don't even know about, but it starts with discovering what you already have, developing what you already have, and then distributing what you already have. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to think like a champion, that we can truly be the overcomers that you called us to be. You said we're more than conquerors through your love, through the love that Jesus Christ has for us. And nothing can separate us from that love, Lord. Therefore, nothing can separate us from being the conquerors you called us to be. Open each person's eyes to see who they really are in you, more than a conqueror. Amen. Well, thanks for joining me on Think Like a Champion. Share this with somebody. Subscribe to this wherever you listen to podcasts, and also pay it forward. Help us get this message. Help me get this message out to more people. You can go to lifechangerschurch.com/give, and you can give online. And you can also come to Life Changers Church at one of our locations, and you can worship with us if you're in the Chicago area, or worship with us online anywhere. And thanks again for joining me on Think Like a Champion. I can't wait to our next episode together. God bless.